Amen. Let's just pray before we start this morning. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the word. And this morning, Lord, I just pray, Father, that something will take place in the very depths of our heart, Father. Lord, we're asking for revelation, Lord. We're asking, Father, that the eyes of our understanding would be opened and our eyes would even be flooded with your glorious light, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we just don't want to receive information for information's sake. But Lord, we pray, Father, you would do a great and a mighty work in this place, Father, according to your word, Lord, that would be perfected, Lord, that would be changed into your very image, Lord. And even this day would be one of those days, Father, where you do a mighty work in us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, church, we're living in a generation where in which people try to forget a lot of things. Right? A lot of stuff goes on, a lot of hurts, a lot of problems, that sort of thing. And sometimes we don't want to confront or hear or deal with difficult stuff. And so we either soften the message or we pretend it doesn't exist. And we usually do that by avoiding something, or we just simply don't want to talk about it. And so I want to start this morning touching on a word that is not usually embraced, and I want to use that word to move into an encouragement. Because the Bible says, you know, even when things are difficult in our lives, right, it's not about the difficulty so much, because the Bible says that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Amen. And as I've said before, your setback is your setup. Amen. I've had lots of setbacks in my life, but I can look back now and realize that God was setting me up. God was training me. God was teaching me. God was pouring something into my spirit. But in the midst of it, it looked like a setback. Amen? Come on, you've got to help me preach this morning. Hallelujah. So the example, a lot of people don't like to talk about the topic of death. Now, maybe not these guys, right? That's their vocation. That's what they do for a job. But people fear death. And so the topic becomes a taboo topic. And I'm not staying in this topic, by the way. I'm moving on into something, right? I'm starting with something that would seem negative. You know, people don't want to think about it. Yet everyone is dying. And from the moment we are born, we start to die. In fact, death is the most popular and the most inclusive experience in life. Because the whole world is participating in it. And it's interesting that the Bible teaches that death is the enemy of mankind and God. That death itself is an enemy. Because God never meant that man and woman should die. There was no death in the Garden of Eden. There was no pain. There was no tears. There was no suffering. Mankind was living perfect in a perfect environment. However, God has given man and woman a will of their own. And so out of that free will, they rebelled against God. And that rebellion is called sin. And the Bible teaches that because of sin, death was the result. And death reigns over the whole human race. It's the judgment upon mankind because of sin. And sinners are under the sentence of death. However, the Bible teaches that this enemy called death will ultimately be destroyed forever. And the day is coming when Jesus Christ will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and everything that resists the will of God will be destroyed, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. We read it in 1 Corinthians 15:26 if you want a reference, and it says those exact words. It says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So those who are in Jesus Christ will be a part of the resurrection and will be given new bodies. Hallelujah. And these bodies will be glorious. They will be powerful. They will be eternal. They will not perish. They will be sin-proof and age-proof and death-proof. Hallelujah. That's exciting, right? And so when we use a word like death, or we walk in difficult places, our perception should not be on the doom and gloom of what is considered a setback. I mean, Kim just shared that about Billy Graham. It's just the address has changed. So we should be looking and know that God is the God of the setup, not the setback. Amen. And the Bible teaches that death has been already defeated, and it was defeated at the cross at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, the final removal of death will be seen in the future advent of Christ's return. Amen. Scripture says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, and that is why Jesus died on the cross. You know, Jesus died on that cross, and it might have looked like a setback, but God was setting something up. Amen. It might have looked like all was lost. Here's the Savior nailed to that cross when Jesus was on that cross, right? But Jesus came and He died and He conquered sin and death, and He placed it under His feet so that we might be set up into the fullness of life to have relationship with the Savior. Come on, that's exciting, right? This is what God has done. This is what He has done for us. Amen. And in the first letter of John, we are told that the blood of Jesus Christ, that's God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, without the blood, there is no cleansing. Without that death, there is no victory over death. Amen. So Jesus had to die so that we could live and walk, hallelujah, in the fullness of life. So Jesus has removed the sting of death. Isn't that awesome? And so now we read scriptures like Romans 8:1 that says there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? And therefore, if we're walking with Christ Jesus and we stand before the Lord, should be welcome, good and faithful servants. Amen. Welcome. That's not something to be fearful of. That's something to be excited about, that we're going to stand and we're going to meet our Lord Jesus Christ, because He is alive and He is living. Amen. Hallelujah. There is no other. Now I share all this because God has turned death into life. He has purchased us that we might be found in Him. He has broken chains and He has set the captives free. And Christ has brought us life through His death. Hallelujah. And for us, if we're found alive in Christ, yet dead to ourselves, whom shall I fear? What shall I fear if God is with me? Amen. So Christ suffered and died and rose again so that this morning you guys are free because of what He's done. You get to walk in the freedom and the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He's done. Amen. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ has come to set the captives free. His blood has spoken. Amen. It might have looked bad. It might have looked wrong. And people might have thought, what on earth is going on? This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But He did all that you might be free. Hallelujah. And He has set you up into a place of liberty and life in Himself. This is what our Savior has done. And this is exciting. Come on. This is exciting. Then He goes on to say, for this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, to destroy the works of the devil, that they might be put down under our feet once and for all. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm getting excited about this stuff. This is the real deal. Church, this morning, I believe there's some stuff that God wants to get determined and settled in our hearts once and for all, because we know the stuff I've just shared. But we get excited about it again when we hear it. And I believe this is a time when we must see the bigness of our God. that God truly is for us and not against us. Amen? That He is for you, church. And it's interesting when we read common portions of Scripture, how much we overlook some little things, what God is saying in them. And perhaps you'd like to turn to Romans 8:31 this morning, and I'll just give you an example. Romans 8:31. And it says, what shall we then say to these things? It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He has spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. Delivered Him up for us all. How shall we not with Him also freely give us all things? Interesting portion of Scripture. Do you know there's a very, very powerful word that is found in this portion of Scripture? A very powerful word. And it's the word if. One of the smallest words in that Scripture. Because the word if is conditional upon us. See, God wants the things of the kingdom to be determined in our hearts. Amen? And this is why we read Scriptures that say, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. Well, if you believe, why do you have unbelief? Right? If I believe in God, why would I doubt what His Word says? And yet we look and we see the church are on this place of believing God, but the walking and the outworking is different. So it's like, do we believe or don't we believe? Are we in or are we out? Is God's Word true or is it not? And so God places these words like if, because it's conditional upon us. And then we read those Scriptures, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Or Scriptures like, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Right? We know the rest of it, found in Chronicles there. So there's a condition that God places upon us. If you're prepared to do this, this is the result. If you're prepared to stand this way, this is the outworking. If you're prepared to confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. Right? Conditional. It's amazing. And the word says, if. And it's the if part that needs to be dealt with. Either God is for us or He's not. He is able or He's not. God places these simple little words like if. And I read those words and I go, wow, that's amazing. Because it puts the responsibility on us to walk by faith. It puts the responsibility on us to believe Him at His Word. It puts the responsibility on us to trust Him at His Word. And what it does, it places the responsibility on your position to not only believe God, but to then also stand and walk in what you believe. It's not enough just to know it here in your head. If you believe it, then you need to put your feet right on it and you need to stand right on it. Amen? Hallelujah. 148 times the word remember is found in the Bible when I had a quick little concordance search for that word. It's not always used in that context that we might think of it. But then we see other words like forget not all my benefits, which have a sense of remembrance as well, right? Because the Lord would have us to remember, church. We need to remember what God has spoken over your life. What He has said to you. We need to remember the testimonies of those that have gone before us. We need to remember the testimonies in this church of what God has done. That God is healing people. That God is setting people free. That we're being changed. That His Word has declared these things. Amen. We need to remember who you are. That you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And when I say that, we need to also remember most importantly whose we are. Amen. We are sons and daughters of the King, hallelujah. And we need to remind ourselves of these things and stir it up in our hearts again. Hallelujah. Because God has given us a promise in His Word that is towards us. It's just not to make you feel good that you skip out of church and pick some daisies on the way and all that sort of stuff, right? He has declared some stuff that you might be able to stand in a position upon his word for these days ahead. To have faith to believe. I quite often say to the Lord, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because I recognize these things, that God's put a condition on me to walk in it. But you know what? I dare to believe. I dare to believe. And you know, it's interesting, and I'll get to that later. That's okay. Let's just turn our Bibles to Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And I want us to see an example of what I'm sharing this morning. And it's the story of Gideon. A lot of us would have read it. A lot of us will know it. I just want to pull some points out of that this morning. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And this is what it says. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. Now, the Midianites, they had come and they had attacked the people of God. And Gideon was hiding, and it says that Gideon was threshing wheat at the wine press. Now, for those who don't know, you don't thresh wheat at or by a wine press. And I'll get to that later. The point is, he was in the wrong place. He was hidden away. He was threshing wheat. And from this position of concern and perhaps stress, he is hidden away. And the angel of the Lord comes to speak to him. The angel of the Lord comes to minister to him. And now you need to understand Gideon's mindset when you read this particular chapter and Gideon's perception here, because he's all alone. Perhaps, and I don't know this for sure, perhaps he's fearful because people have been attacked and killed. There is a real threat that is surrounding him, and so now he's hiding. And the angel of the Lord comes and brings courage to him. And in verse 12, says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you. Now, I've left a couple of words out there on purpose. For the angel didn't just remind him that God was with him, but the angel also brought forth a powerful declaration of who he was because God was with him. And so the angel tells him God is with him, and then declares him to be a mighty man of valor. Amen. God was not just with him, but here's God declaring something over him that he is a mighty man of valor. Wow. And so Gideon replies with an if. Verse 13 it says, sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us. Why has all this stuff happened to us? Why are all the miracles that our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Now that's in my own sort of words, right? And so he's questioning, well, if you're saying this about me, Lord, why is these things happening? You see, how many of us have done that? Stuff gone on in our life. What are you doing, Lord? It's true, isn't it? You see, Gideon hears the words of who he is. The words have been divinely spoken. It's not the words of men. They have been declared over him, but it's not entered into his heart. He does not see himself as God sees him. He does not see himself as a mighty man of valor. And so he is questioning God. He's in the wrong position. He is hiding. He is walking by sight and not by faith. And he is being challenged by what he sees and what he's experiencing. You know, the greatest word that you can receive, the greatest thing you can know, the greatest thing that you can understand is that God is with you. Amen. Hallelujah. God is with you this morning. Come on, can I have an amen? It's not your mate, it's not a Pez dispenser, it's God, right? God is with you. That's got to be exciting. Do we understand who He is this morning? Do I need to tell you about Him? Come on. Do you know who this man is? Do you know how powerful He is? And He's with you. I mean, that's got to just, we should be leaping out of our chairs in such excitement because we have a revelation of who He is and He says, I'm with you. Hallelujah. He is with you. We need to know that today because He has declared it upon you as a New Testament believer that God is with you. Amen. God is with you. And you know what? God is for you. Come on, that's got to be good. No greater thing could be given, received, or declared over your life except that God is with you. Man. So here's an angel that's appeared to Gideon. And he recognizes that it's an angel from God. That's important because the devil can come as an angel of light. We can hear lots of words spoken to us that can come from a wrong source, right? We need to have discernment. Gideon recognizes and knows that this is an angel of God, yet he is still not willing to accept what has been divinely spoken. He questions the word. You know, I find that bizarre. I often thought, man, if an angel appeared in my room and spoke some words divinely spoken from God, I'd be snapping to attention. Yes, sir. And off I'd go, right? And here he is questioning God. And it shows us that when even when God's word is spoken, or even when an angel appears and speaks, or even when Jesus speaks to the multitudes, there can be something within us that is still unwilling to accept God's word and obey it. Come on. It's true, isn't it? Church, it's not who the vessel is that God uses, but rather the willingness of that vessel to be changed and used of God. Whether we're willing to be changed, whether we're willing to stand upon this word and its fullness of what it says. So Gideon replies with a question, and it's very easy to question God. I've done it lots of times because God's ways don't fit into our understanding. And so we question God. And because Gideon sees himself as weak, he sees himself defeated, as unable, and because of this wrong perception that he has, he then views the Midianites as big and powerful. But if you are one person with God, I'll tell you this morning, you are a majority. If you are one person with God, you are a majority. In Christ, you have the ability to change circumstances. You have the ability to change the atmosphere. And you can even walk on water if that's what is required of you. Amen? Because I've already seen the testimony of that. So if God requires you to do that, well, so be it. If that's what you're saying to me, Lord, let's go. Forget the outboard. Let's go. With God, you are able. You know, if your focus is on your inability, your opposition, your struggle, you will be unable to progress any further. If you keep looking at your inability, your insufficiency, your struggle, then that will be the place that you dwell. And this is the time to look as God sees and to break our limitations and begin to walk into the very purposes of God that He has spoken in His word and over His church. Amen. That we begin to believe the bigness of God. That we begin to believe that our God is able. Amen. That we begin to believe what His word has declared and begin to walk in the fullness of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Gideon ends up in a defeated position, doing the wrong thing in the wrong place, and he has progressed no further, and now he is hiding. The enemy has caused his sight to change. He sees himself as defeated. His vision has become impaired. Godly intention is dead, and he has forgotten who is with him. We must never forget who is with us. Amen? And we must never forget who is for us. And we must never give up the fight, church, because it's a fight sometimes, right? But we must stand upon the principles of the kingdom regardless. I don't know, I don't care if you've prayed for someone 10 times and you haven't seen the result come to pass. What about the 11th time? What about the 12th time? We have prayed for Jen, for her knee, for I don't know how many months, but she's here without a walker today. Right? Come on. Either God can heal or he can't. And either we're going to keep smashing this thing and see a breakthrough, or we're going to give up. And I say, we keep standing and we fight, and we keep praying and we keep believing, because we understand that God is for us and that our God is able. Amen? And so we get excited about that. It stirs our heart because we recognize and have a revelation that God is with us. Come on. Even my son on the driveway yesterday, I heard when you were over, Jen. And he came up. What did he say to you? Do you remember, Sharon? Yeah. Yeah, he saw that Jen didn't have a walker and said, we've been praying for Jen's knee and God's healed her. And that's out of the mouth of a 3-year-old. Because he knows the walker's no longer there. And he knows who has done the work? God has done the work. And a 3-year-old understands it. What about us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's his word. And it's his word alone. And we understand who has declared this word. Therefore, we stand upon it. And therefore, we know that this word is going to come to pass, church. Amen. It's not going to fall to the ground. It's not going to die. It's going to accomplish all that it was set forth to do. Hallelujah. So we stand in a position of faith because God is with us. Man, this is exciting. You know, when I was writing this message, I kept getting out of my chair and walking around the lounge excited. So I've got to get back and write this message because I was getting stirred. Amen. Because I had a revelation that God is with us. Verse 14, then the Lord looked upon him and said, go with the strength you had and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Now you think of Elijah, he spoke to his servant and he said, go and look again. And he said, what do you see? And I feel like the Lord is saying, let's look again and what do you see? Let's look again and what do you see? So the first thing that needs to change is our perception. We need to see how God sees. Does God see you defeated and withering in pain and crippled and broken? No, he sees you free and whole. Amen. Because that's the price he paid for you. So we stand and we believe. And if you keep focusing on your weakness, if you keep focusing on your bad past, and I've had one of them, and all those experiences, you cannot progress any further. So Gideon goes on to say, my clan is the weakest and I am the least of them all. And he was the youngest, I believe, also. You see, it's not about where you were born. It's not about if you are rich or if you are poor. It's not about if you were born in a palace or if you're born in a shack. Think of Jesus. He was born in a manger. And it's the most least of places, the most insignificant place. He had animals. He had animal waste. He had animal smells and all that sort of stuff around him. You see, it's never about where you were born or the family that you're born into, but rather it's about who is with you. Amen. Who is with you this morning, church? Come on, are you starting to get this? Is it getting into here? Are you getting excited about who our God is this morning? Amen. I'm not meaning to shout at you this morning, but I'm getting excited, right? And this is the day I believe that God is wanting us to begin to see as he sees. To begin to see and believe for the impossible. Amen. Hallelujah. If you cannot begin to see, then you cannot achieve it. And it's like I hear the Lord is saying It's time to begin to lift up your eyes. It's time to begin to see. It's time to begin to believe God. It's time to stop looking and camping around your problems and confessing that as your portion, but begin to lift up your eyes. Amen. But I'm addicted to this. But I struggle with that. People say this about me. I've always struggled with blah, 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 blah. In my past, this happened. You don't understand. Remember, the setback is his setup. You come out of that and you're overcome. Guess what? You got a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The focus is on the wrong things. There's a scripture that says, lift up your eyes from whence your help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord God Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. So Gideon was threshing wheat. And church, the threshing floor was a large flat stone that had some hard soil just laying on the top of it. And it was usually found on top of a hill, so it was exposed to the wind. And when wheat was collected, it was placed upon this hard stone, and a large piece of wood or stone was dragged across it to thresh out the grain. Now, what that means is it would separate the chaff or the husk from the grain. The two hard things rubbing together, right, would separate the outside husk, they call it chaff, from the grain. And this mixture of chaff or the husks would then be tossed into the wind with what was called a winnowing fork, and the wind would blow away the husk and the grain would fall to the ground, leaving behind the good stuff. So the threshing floor was a place of cleansing and separation. That's what it speaks of. And the Lord was wanting Gideon to lift up his eyes and know that God was with him and wanted him to come out and be separate. For church, do you know that the Bible says that you're not of this world? You're not of this world. So it's time to stop sounding like the world. It's time to stop looking like the world. And it's time to lift up your eyes and see as God sees, because God is with you. And some of you then need to begin to believe God again. Some of you need to simply spend some quality time with Jesus. Amen. Some of you, God is wanting to break some of your insecurities and trust God at His Word. Some of you need to dust off your Bibles perhaps and look at some of the promises that God has spoken in His Word and begin to speak them over your life. Begin to speak them over your body. Begin to speak them over your family. Amen. Because it's the promise of the living God. Amen. To begin to declare some stuff. To begin to stir up this which is within you, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. So Gideon was hiding. And God wanted him to face an enemy. Yet Gideon was worried about his stuff being taken. The wheat being taken. You see, God wanted his focus to stop being on himself. He was worried about, oh, I don't want no one to take this, so I'm hiding, right? Gideon was focused on what he couldn't do. And God simply wanted him to only do what he could. And God said to him, just go in your strength, or bring me what you have. Bring me what you have. Don't wait till you've got it all together and everything else. Just bring me what you have. Just come to me and see what I can do. Bring me an offering of praise. Bring what you can to the storehouse. Bring me bread, a little bit of bread and a few fishes, right? Bring me faith, even if it's the size of a mustard seed. And in my hand, says the Lord, I'll show you how mountains will be moved. Amen. What are we going to bring him, church? And you begin to see the hand of the living God, because God is with you this morning. Do you believe that? God is with you this morning. So we're going to begin to believe in this church. Amen. We're going to begin to believe that this is a place of miracles. We're going to begin to believe that sickness is broken in Jesus' name because His Word has declared it, right? We're going to begin to believe that the move of God is so big, this hall is too small for us. We're going to begin to believe that the power of God is going to be in this place to set the captives free, amen? That yokes will be broken. It's a place of deliverance. It's a place of salvation. It's a place of healing. It's a place of life, and it's a place of joy. And you might have sorrow in the world and go through difficulties, but when you come together in the house of God, you can't help but be so excited because we understand that God is with you. Amen. This is church. Come on. We're not here to have a happy, clappy time. We're here because God's going to change us. We're not leaving the same. We're not going to be the same. Amen. Because God wants to do a mighty work in our lives and in this time. Can you say amen this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. This morning I'm going to... Mum's away. Alan and Deb, Ronald and Kim, Sharon, our eldership team... We're going to pray for those who need a miracle this morning. We're going to pray and finish our service. We'll put some music on. If you need a healing touch, if you have physical ailments in your body, if you're believing for something that's big or whatever it might be, we're just going to believe for a miracle this morning. We're not just going to talk about the bigness of our God this morning, that God is with us. We're going to stand and know that our God is with us and declare the word of God. That these things be broken, right? That sickness has no place in God's kingdom. Therefore, as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. Therefore, I say sickness has no place in our church either. And if we have to keep hitting that thing every single week, we're going to hit it until we see it happen. Amen? Until we see even Jen's a testimony now. We're going to believe that this thing is gone forever, that her leg's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger because she likes to dance. It's any wonder the enemy wants to come and hassle her knees. Come on. God came to set the captives free. And we're going to believe it this morning. So I just put that out there. If you want some prayer, we're going to get our team to pray because it says, if any two agree on one thing, it shall be done. You know, sometimes there's emotional healing that needs to take place, not just physical. And I just want to throw something out there, which is very unusual for me because this doesn't usually happen for me this way. And so I could be wrong, but I want to throw it out there. Last night I put my head on the pillow, and for some reason I saw someone's ankle. And I saw them going like this with the ankle, like they were trying to make it better. Right? Who has a problem with their ankle this morning? Is it you, Jen? Oh, and you, Bonnie. Well, come on, we're going to pray for you. And then I just felt there was someone, I don't even know what it is, but on your side, you have pain on your side. Who's that? You have pain on your side. Is that you, Rodney? Come on, we'll pray for you too. We're just going to break up the meeting and we're just going to pray. If you need a touch this morning, God's going to do it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, Father, we.